Welcome to DevMode.fm, a podcast dedicated to the tools, techniques, and technologies used in modern web development. I'm Andrew Welch from NY Studio 107.
I'm Lauren Dorman from A Color Bright.
I'm Patrick Harrington from Mildly Geeky in Boston.
And today we are talking to Knut Melvar from Sanity.io. How did I do?
You did good.
Well, I can't even pronounce Laravel, so so God forbid. Do me a favor, just once clearly say your name.
Knut Melvar.
Yeah, I did terrible. Yeah. Anyway, I can pronounce Sanity.io.
Yeah.
That's easy enough to pronounce, but what I really, you know, what is it? So if you are out fly fishing in the Adirondacks on the Saranac River, and someone just kind of waded along up to you and said, hey, Knut, what is this Sanity.io thing? Like, what would you tell them?
Yeah, that's a question I've asked myself many times. What would I say? And depending on the person and their background, I would probably begin in a very like general end of things and talk about
You got two sentences. Look, we're standing in the middle of the river.
Two sentences.
We're trying to catch fish. There's stuff going on. Give it to me short and sweet.
Well, Sanity is a hosted backend for structured content.
All right.
Are you wiser?
I am wiser. That was only one sentence, so you got one more to spare. Go ahead.
I got to choose it wisely then. it comes with this really awesome, powerful query language and editor built in React that you can like customize yourself.
So is it a CMS?
So, yeah, well, you can use it as a CMS. We tend to think it more about it like a CMS toolkit. Mm. Because we of course, want to be the next thing, right? CMS, that's the thing of the days of yore. That's the old stuff, right? but yeah, you can manage content in Sanity.
Well, I guess a better question would be, who are you targeting with this? Are you targeting developers? Are you targeting content authors? Are you targeting the clients that developers build stuff for? Like who benefits from this tool?
Who benefits from it? Well, I have to say everyone benefits from this tool, but we are talking mostly to developers, and you probably need to be a developer or at least an aspiring developer to kind of get started. And the reason we are doing that is because developers are the one who are going to build whatever front end or app or voice assistant thing that is going to use this content. So that's why we are like targeting developers. That sounds like a bit hostile to target developers.
It's all right.
We try to appeal target market to developers.
Well, okay. So from a overview level. So essentially the way that this thing works from what I understand, and I've toyed around with it a bit and I've been doing some reading and research on it. But it looks like you essentially define what your data is going to look like using JSON. Is that right?
It's actually JavaScript. It's
or
even
in JavaScript. Okay.
Yeah.
A JavaScript or JSON looking JavaScript, right? And then you then build that and it kind of just appears in your local dev environment once you spin up. So essentially you can run the back end of this thing locally. And then you also have a remote, which is something that you folks host that it syncs that content with, right? Is that kind of like how it works?
So this is very interesting. And we are working with making this clearer, but actually the content is always in the cloud. So when you like type the terminal command to install the npm package or the CLI, and you type Sanity init, what happens is that we actually are making the API like in the cloud, and we are giving you a React project, which is the editor, and what the editor does is just connect to the cloud API. So there are never any like local content. It's just the editorial environment that's local.
So it's kind of we define the schema locally, and then we can use the editor locally, but the data always lives in the cloud, right? Because I've seen it syncs it, right?
Yeah, and that's the reason for this, because everything in Sanity is actually real time. So it's like having a CMS, it's like having Google Docs just all over your CMS.
Oh my God. So if I'm typing a blog, someone else could in theory log in and watch how terrible of a typist I am. Like they would actually see that coming through.
That's kind of the point, right?
Oh, I don't want them to see. Well, in this case, I don't want them to know.
Yeah, it could be. Well, it depends on the user privileges, of course. You could be having your own like document path that you were drafting in. But the point of being real time is, well, you have the collaboration thing, but it's also for like a really smart AI bot to collaborate with you on that content. Hmm.
So a lot of people may be familiar with pair programming, and there are apps that let you write stuff together. So is this kind of like pair content editing?
Yeah, you can say that.
Or it could even be more than pair, right? It could be group, or is it designed to be real-time collaborative in that regard?
Yeah, very much. So it's from the ground up, it's designed to be everything in real time and scalable, and everything that you like, the rich text and everything is like deeply typed and structured. So it makes it really easy to like make other kind of services that enrich and analyze and like collaborate on the content. That's the like the idea.
So when I'm editing stuff in the back end of this thing, I can see changes in real time. What about on the front end? Is that something that there's like a real time live preview of that on the front end as well?
Yeah, so you can decide to build that. We have examples like on Code Sandbox and in the GitHub. But what you do is to set up something we call a listener. So that's a really easy thing to do, at least in JavaScript. It's like 3 lines of code, and that will listen for all the changes and like publish them into your front end. So if you put that like in, if you're doing React and put that into the component that did mount function, it will just push whatever change into the new state or whatever. So you can very easily make like live preview modes from that.
Now you've said React a few times.
Yeah.
If I don't know React, can I still use sanity.io?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about developers, right? That we are like appealing to developers. That's very much like in the ethos of Sanity. But to like build the CMS, to build the content model, you are mostly just like typing JavaScript objects, following some conventions. And if you can do that, you can set it up and get going, and you can use PHP or Vue or whatever, like against the API.
Okay, so we're essentially designing a nice editor that we can spin up locally to a real-time API that we can connect to from whatever we want, right?
Yeah, and you don't have to use the editor either. You can just send Java or JSON documents right to the backend and use it like just as an API.
Well, I know Patrick is really hot and bothered about Gatsby these days.
Yeah.
Could Gatsby be used with Sanity?
There is. I took a look. There's a Gatsby plugin for Sanity already. So
that's really cool because we are like talking to a lot of developers. We are building a developer community now. So we have like 400 and something in our Slack since we started the summer with the Slack community. And they build stuff like this source plugin. But what we are actually working on right now is a new Gatsby source plugin that will be very awesome. And and we also are working on a GraphQL API layer. So
that's what I was going to ask you about next. So if I want to do a query, I need to learn something called grok, right?
Yeah, you should learn it.
What is grok?
So grok.
I don't grok what grok is.
Yeah. So we have like set us up for easy punnage, I guess. But grok is it's short for graph oriented query language, and it has some similarities to GraphQL, but it's kind of like the other way around. So in GraphQL, you would like define all the types and all the fields that you want, like in your response. In grok, it's like you begin with a star, which is all your documents. select star from table. And then you put on something called a filter. So you have the square brackets, and then you can write like type is post, and the featured image is defined, or something like that, to get only those documents that match that filter.
So first of all, Knut, I got to tell you, it should be Grockle.
Grockle.
Right? Yeah, there should be an L on the end of that, all right? Because you even when you said it, you even said query language, right?
Yeah, I'll play that back to the marketing department.
But I want to get Lauren in here. So, Lauren, how do you feel about learning a new query language? Does that excite you?
It's a little bit. The syntax is a little bit different than GraphQL, but I would say that it was sort of similar. So there were some bits that seemed very similar when trying to query it. But it's not super exciting to learn something that kind of only exists in one place. I think it's good news to hear that you all are thinking about or are working on currently implementing a GraphQL implementation of querying, because that. To be perfectly honest, it's more widely used. So yeah, it is a bit of a hurdle just to kind of, you know, just learn a new syntax for querying. But it's not anything that is a showstopper, but appealing. It is more appealing if you bring in something like GraphQL, which is more widely known.
Yeah, that's completely true. So we are not like. We're not asking people to like Grok to convert to the Grok thing, what I've found. So I've played a lot around with GraphQL and Gatsby lately, and what I've found is that these two query languages serve slightly two kinds of purposes. So Grok is great when you are not sure about your content model or what you actually want out of your documents. So it's a really good query language for exploring and prototyping and moving quickly. And when you're like have decided on what your front end component should have from data and so on, then you would go into like the GraphQL mode and make it ready for production. And that's how we like imagine that people kind of perhaps will use it. But Grok is also what made it easy for us to make a GraphQL implementation, because it's really easy to like generate the queries that we need for that. So we will be supporting both, and we are huge fans of GraphQL as well.
I saw a demo. I saw a demo of that, and it was a prototype.
Yeah,
and I think the demo was from back in June, and. You know, the person giving the presentations, you know, said, I hope it works. And the whole thing worked flawlessly. But I know what it's like to code up a demo versus code up something that actually ships. But the interesting thing to me, from the way I understood that this whole thing works, is that it actually translates the GraphQL query into Grok.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Mm. That's correct.
Interesting. And the other thing is that the GraphQL layer runs locally, right? So you can do all of that stuff locally. Like you're not going out over the wire to do that, right?
Yes, sure. So what we are probably going to ship, and it's very soon, it's like just after New Year's, is that you can just type sanity GraphQL deploy, and it will compile this like API app and deploy it to the sanity cloud, and then you will have like the GraphQL playground and all that.
I was about to mention something that I think that one of the most awesome things about GraphQL, at least from my perspective, is the GraphQL playground, because it makes it so easy to play around and to get autocomplete and to figure out what works and what doesn't work.
And how cool would it be? And so on. Yeah.
Can you extend that so that when you're playing around with it, you see the Grok translation of what you're doing?
Maybe. Everything is possible. It's not something we have thought a lot about doing.
It would be so cool from the perspective of learning it, right? So let's say I already know GraphQL.
Too.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of people already know GraphQL compared to Grok. I mean, it's just reality. It's kind of the way it is. And I saw during the demo where they would type up a GraphQL query, and it would spit out what the resulting Grok translation of that was. How cool would it be to see that in real time? Like, I would love to see that, because that would help me learn what it's doing under the hood. And then also would kind of, if I already know GraphQL, it would help me learn Grok, you know? I don't know. Yeah. I just thought that would be a really neat thing.
So it's perhaps it's kind of easy for me to say now, but actually Grok isn't that hard to learn, like, because you can do it very incrementally. So you can make this really like simple queries, which still will give you a lot of use. And then you can go into the more advanced stuff. But sure, what we are planning to do is to also give you this GraphQL API as like this local app bundle, as we said at the meetup. And then you will be able to go into that and see how the queries are laid out. And for example, combine that API with some other API you have, or host it yourself and stuff like that. So yeah, certainly.
So Knut, are you committing? Are you saying on air that it's going to have the live preview in the GUI?
I'm not confirming nor denying. No. Well, it's a new idea, so I'll take it back to the developer team.
All right, folks, you heard it. It'll be shipping next week. No worries.
Oh, they are going to kill me.
So, I mean, Lauren, you mentioned that you have used Sanity a decent bit. So what are the questions you have brought to the table here?
I guess a lot of the questions I have are sort of surrounding basically what it would look like if someone was able to self-host, not the content, but is there any plans to potentially make the backend and the database could it be self-hosted? A lot of people are pretty keen on owning their own data rather than having it live somewhere else. Is that a plan for the future, or is it something that is strictly locked?
Yeah, so you do not simply host real-time graph-based document store that scales to a lot of documents. So no, we will not plan. We have no plans to like release the backend part of this. That being said, you are still in control of all your content. It's right there, and it's extremely easy to like export and take with you wherever you want it.
Hold on, Knut. Yeah. Hold on. So Bayer, a huge multinational company, comes to you and says, hey, we love what you're doing, and we want to adopt it company-wide, but we have to host our own stuff. If they back up the money truck, you're going to say no?
So we are moving to territory like where I'm not completely like comfortable with selling too much. But what we would say and what we have said is that we are looking at doing something called managed, so we can host it in your cloud, but we will be managing it. If that makes sense. Now I feel I have to flag that because now you like backed me into the corner, like self-host. It's not the first time I have that answer.
But of course.
everything that we can, we are doing open source. So all the editor stuff, all the tooling, everything is like there on the GitHubs. So we are not like closed source fanatics or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I get it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just to back up a little bit, I guess, I have seen an article that you wrote called 20 Principles for Craft CMS.
Yeah.
So it's really useful because a decent number of people from the community, the Craft CMS community, listened to the podcast. You have experience with Craft CMS. Like, how would you compare and contrast them in terms of, you know, what are some of the similarities and some of the differences? And when might you use one? When might you use Craft CMS? And when might Sanity be a better choice?
Yes. So my background is like, I've done a lot of development in the CMS that shall not be named. And like in...
Is it owned by a marketing company now? An artificial intelligence marketing company?
And it, I think it was 2015, I was introduced to craft, and it was like a glass of ice water in hell or something.
So that someone is beautiful. Said that.
Yeah. But it was this kind of revelation that a CMS could actually be kind of good, kind of great, right? And a big reason for that is that craft comes with little assumptions about your content model, right? So, so working as a consultant in a web agency, that was great to like be able to like decide how things should be. And the web agency I worked at, called NetLife, by the way, they had this like methodology of the core model, where everything was like finding what's the core content that does the job and try and like build around that. And craft were pretty great for doing exactly that. And you can like make the labels and descriptions in the editor and all that stuff. So what craft actually did for me was to prepare me for the headless age, right? Mm. Because we were thinking more about content modeling and less about how like the posts and pages should render in the front end. And you can
think about your data and then
exactly
how and where it ends up getting rendered should be a separate conversation.
And he had a matrix field that was great because that made you more in control of like how the front end and the layout should like work. So it was kind of not that far of a jump to go from component-driven development in Twig to something like React, actually. So in terms of that, I think craft has a lot of stuff in it that makes it easy for developers who are used to craft to try the more API-based headless stuff. And I keep seeing that craft is moving in that direction as well. But that being said, it seems that you would mostly use craft whenever you need a web page or a website. And at the point where you are going beyond that website, or perhaps by having multiple websites, or I know you can do multiple websites in craft, or you have some other services and stuff like that you want to have the same, where you want to reuse the content, then you would look at something called like Sanity. Or if you have some kind of legacy back office system that is supposed to sync some important canonical data to your content, and you don't want locking, merge conflicts and stuff like that, then you also would use something like Sanity, because that's real time, so there will be no document locking, and you can do deep patches into the documents or the real rich text actually and stuff like that. So when you're moving into territory where we have slightly more advanced needs or a different kind of content universe, then I think these two would start to differentiate.
And what about the content authoring experience? So the back end for Sanity is something that, you know, it can spin up and it looks really neat, and it kind of very much reflects the, I know it's not JSON, but the JavaScript hierarchy for in which you define the schema. But can it be, is it friendly enough that I could, you know, the average client that I might have when I'm developing a website for them, would it be reasonable to unleash them on the content that's there?
So the idea here is to make it easy for developers to make a user-friendly editor for their authors and not having to sacrifice the control of the data model. So Sanity started as a specific SMS for a really large or a known architecture firm called OMA. They have like, I think they have like China as a customer. And they had a lot of content and a lot of documentation for all the projects and stuff like that. So the team behind Sanity made Sanity for that purpose, kind of expecting that something else should come along, and it never did. So they decided to like make this a product and like become a product startup company. And what was my point? Yeah, the idea is they were asked if they are, if they will be coming like to the office to have like seminars and on how to use it and stuff like that. And they said that, well, have you tried it? Can't you just log in and try it and get back to us if something doesn't make sense? I think the response were, oh, I see. So the point is that your editor shouldn't need to like learn something. It should be like Google Docs. You don't need a manual to use Google Docs.
Right.
Yeah.
So the back end is intended for end users, non-technical people,
very much
to be able to jump in there and do stuff with, right?
What I found kind of nice when I was working with Sanity as a like consultant was that I can have a workshop with the content editor, and we can sit together in front of the laptop, and I can like type the content model very quickly, and it will like do hot module replacing in the browser, and we can sort of talk about how things should look and work and be structured. So I also think that Sanity is geared towards interdisciplinary work like that. And
this reminds me of like a term that's been bandied about has been content management framework.
Yeah.
Right. It's something that is a framework that kind of lets you build the content manager. And a lot of what I'm seeing is it actually kind of reminds me of Laravel in conjunction with Laravel Nova. Right. Which is the goal of that. So you do your modeling and your queries and you do all that in Laravel, and then you can build the actual admin panel UI using Nova. It sounds kind of sort of similar to that in a way.
Yeah, I kind of left the PHP world. So yeah, I should check that out. But yeah, probably, maybe.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, I have a little local setup here with a Sanity Studio and playing around, and it's pretty cool the way that as you make content changes, you can literally see it's, you know, doing a live update just the way you would with a Google Doc. But is that a turnoff or is that a liability for some people where, yeah, the fact that, you know, I have the little, like the movie screening starter little template up, and, you know, as soon as I remove a movie from like this screening object, it's gone. Like the thumbnail goes away, everything just goes away. And, you know, I've probably broken something if I had any kind of upstream application with that. Is that a problem where it's changing things on the fly and it's updating data in a very nuanced way rather than allowing you to make a whole bunch of changes and then push them all at once when they're ready to go?
Yeah. So now we're moving into like how it is to work with like a headless CMS. And I think there are a couple of questions that aren't really answered yet because we are kind of exploring how should this actually work. That being said, when you are doing changes in like the editor, you are able, unless you have like live edit mode true, they won't be like reflected in the public API before you actually publish it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a publish button.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Also,
all right.
Like unpublish. And what happens in the backend is everything is patch based. So every change that you do is actually recorded. And next year you will be able to see all the revisions.
Does it use Git for the diff or anything like that? Or,
no.
Or how does that work? Or is it custom?
It's custom. It's very boring technology, but put together in a very exciting way.
So proprietary handmade Norwegian technology.
But yes, so you aren't losing anything actually. So yeah.
Does it support undo?
It supports undo.
Yeah. So there you go, Patrick. You delete the movie. Either hit undo or just don't publish.
But what you're pointing on, Patrick, is actually a valid point, because you could just delete a movie document, and there could be some kind of app in the world that depended on that document existing. So I wrote an article in Smashing Magazine about how to work with headless projects. And so people that makes headless CMSs, they have like this platonic idea of the pure content model that should be completely agnostic from presentation and stuff like that. But I kind of suspect that you have to have some kind of concept of presentation in your CMS, but you could have that as like a separate document and you can make a reference. So if you're making a reference in Sanity, you can't actually delete the document without getting a warning.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So if you like make a menu type and you make references in that menu to the documents that you want to like the page document or whatever, then you wouldn't be able to delete the page document because it had a menu document pointing to it.
And do we have fine-grained permissions so that certain users can't delete?
Oh, so fine-grained.
So fine-grained. Tell me how fine-grained. Yeah, is because, it per character?
because we have this Grok thing, right? And in the Grok thing, we have the concept of a filter.
Grokl,
okay. Go ahead. No, it's a Grok thing.
We have okay, Grok thing.
And you can have those filters as the permission settings. So you can say a thing that for this group, they should be able to update documents that are of the type posts that have the title field filled out, but have not a featured image set. So you can go pretty bananas with the permission system if you want to.
Yeah. And so this would be on us when we're modeling the app to kind of client-proof things from the point of view of we have reasonable permissions so that the only person that can delete stuff that would be traumatic would be like an admin type user, right?
But another thing with this is that sort of Content Studio, it's just a React app, and you can have as many Content Studios as you want with different settings. So you can have one studio where you have the schemas for the posts and just the posts, so those who log in would just be able to see those. And another one with all the stuff and so on. So,
So that's interesting. Yeah. So Sanity really, we can think of it as a way to model our content, but also as a factory for kind of custom built to purpose CMS ish interfaces, right?
Yeah, and
is that what you're saying?
So where I like had to. So a month ago, I was deploying like 9 studios on Netlify with different configurations depending on the environment variable. And I did that in like an hour, as it was the most normal thing in the world to do. And then I actually had to think that I now deployed 9 different studios from Git on Netlify. Had I tried to do that with Craft, I would have been spending a lot of more time, I guess.
Yeah, the only really reasonable way to do that would be if you had separate front-end forms or something with permissions based on them or something like that. Yeah, no, totally. So, I mean, that's really interesting to me because then you could build... One of the things about a general-purpose CMS is that it's great in that you can do whatever you want with it, but sometimes the end user or the end client can be a little overwhelmed because, like, everything is there.
Yeah.
You know? So that's really cool that you can deploy something that is kind of custom for just the needs of this particular person or this particular group or this division or whatever it ends up being. That's really, really neat. So now, because Sanity is essentially a data source, do you have any helpers for integrating this with like Android and iOS apps and desktop apps? Or is that something where... Right, do you have toolkits for connecting to that type of thing?
Yeah, we have. So the APIs, they are just like boring HTTP APIs. And for reading, you send us these Grokl queries.
There you go. I'm going to convert you yet.
And to write, we have a patch system. But we also have made JavaScript client for it. There's a PHP client for it. We actually had a user making a full-featured .NET client for it. And it's mind-blowing. When I saw it, I was like, what? I think there are some other stuff as well. And we also have tooling for like rendering the rich text thing in React or Vue or HyperScript or even Silex or Twig, I think. So so yeah, there's a lot of tooling going around.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that is really neat that you're really seeing yourself as a universal data provider. And then you can just build out these kind of custom portals where people can access it and get to the data that they need. But you mentioned something that I want to touch on is that you've got this thing called portable text.
Yeah.
What is that?
One of the ideas from the start was that, so it seems that like until recently, at least, that every CMS, they had all these fields and data types. And when it came to rich text, it's always HTML or Markdown. And right. That's understandable if what the CMS do is to just put the HTML on the web page. But if you are going to use a hot framework like React or Vue or have it in Alexa or internet connected toaster, I don't know, it kind of sucks to parse HTML. And what we also wanted is to the rich text to actually be queryable, to be typed, and to be able to embed rich data structures on top of the rich text. So portable text is kind of the answer for that. It's not meant for an author to write because it's these like JSON objects. But it's a neat specification for a WYSIWYG editor to like render rich text in. And it's really easy to serialize into whatever markup or format you want it in.
So it's kind of a neutral format to store the formatted text. And one of the ways that you could render it out would be HTML.
Yeah, exactly. And the way it works in Sanity is that if you can like make a footnote annotation, so you can mark some text in the text editor and you can have this box with the footnote. You can even have the rich text in the footnote, and in the footnote rich text, you can have an internal link that sets up a reference to another document. And we will index that, and we will know that in this footnote there's a reference to the document, so you shouldn't be able to delete that document. So stuff like that makes cool. It easy, right? And we can also query for all the rich text objects that references that document and stuff like that.
Slight tangent, but this reminds me of something that I stumbled upon last night called CoolQL.
Yeah,
has anyone here heard of that?
No.
How crazy is that? So this is everyone's familiar with scraping web pages, right? Mm-hmm. There are various tools for various platforms that you can.
Oh, I did see this.
You can get the DOM back and you can parse it and, you know, look through it and scrape it and do that kind of fun stuff with it. CoolQL lets you use GraphQL to scrape a web page.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure that the GraphQL folks that was what they intended, but it's pretty
awesome. Not. But you know, and Mark Hewitt and I have been doing horrible things with Twig, where we've been like executing Twig in PHP, and then he put closures in there, and I'm sorry, yeah, executing PHP in Twig, and then he wanted to put closures in there, and he's just doing all sorts of horrible things. And then he pointed out to me that there is also a closure in GraphQL like package out there. So I mean, the developers are going to do horrible things just to see if they can do them, right? Yeah. But it kind of reminds me of CoolQL from the point of view of, well, hey, here's your blob of rich text, but now you can query it, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it still blows my mind. I mean, what was it, a week ago, I think, was the Gutenberg release with WordPress, and they took a slightly different approach to how to structure page content, which is that they just use HTML comments for everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
People have been really happy with that.
Yeah, I feel like we need some discussion at some point on Gutenberg, but it's the strangest thing. I couldn't believe it until I literally looked into the posts table.
I think you showed me the link.
Yeah,
and you mentioned something, and I'm like, no.
It's
like Patrick,
all HTML comments.
I'm like, Patrick misunderstood that. There's no way anyone would do something like that. And then I look at it, I'm like, holy crap.
A third of the internet will soon be, or whatever it is, structured in HTML comments.
Yeah.
Well, Knut, how do you feel about, I mean, I think using HTML comments is superior to structured JSON. What do you think?
That's funny because, so we like, I don't know if we really can say that we open sourced the specification, but we made the specification and we put it on the GitHub and it's there right. for anyone to use if they want. And it ended up on Hacker News. And that's also always a mixed thing because of course you have a lot of people starring in the GitHub repo and like upvoting, but then you have the comments. we learned about this thing called XML, which is supposedly superior to the most formats.
XML, I think I've heard of that. Yeah, is that new? Or
I think this it's probably some new JavaScript thing, right? No, but yeah, people pointed out that you could do this kind of thing in XML, and of course they are completely correct, but. It seems like JSON kind of won.
Yeah.
Well, that's how XML was born, right? I mean, I don't know the complete history of it, but my understanding was like that's kind of what it was for.
Yeah.
You know? Like back in the day, they had, God, what was it? Like WordStar or something like that? There's some old DOS word processor that like everyone used. And I think I probably have this totally wrong, but I think it was like IBM or someone that came up with using XML as a way to structure content like this. Yeah. And I mean, you're right that you could use XML to do that, but what are the advantages of using JSON? Tell us.
So the advantage is that our users don't have to parse XML. I made this Sanity to podcast feed thing. So you can actually host a podcast in Sanity. And that of course translates the data structure to RSS, which is XML. And I also had to make a thing that could read an RSS feed and turn it into like Sanity structured data, to like import a podcast feed and stuff like that. And it was kind of a hassle because I think you can express almost any data structure in XML in at least four ways, it seems. So it's kind of unpredictable. And the weird thing where we can have arrays, multiple arrays at the same like root level. So it doesn't really parse with the JavaScript way of thinking, at least.
Well, and also you gain some coherency, yeah. Right? Because that... you're already using a JSON-ish way of defining your schema, and now you've just got another queryable JSON-ish or actual JSON that stores the rich text. So it makes, I mean, that part of it makes complete sense to me. I do have, you know, there are a number of other CMS as a service type things out there. There's Datto CMS, there's Contentful, and Keystone JS is another one. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that are kind of in this space. And I'm wondering, like, how do you feel that Sanity is differentiated from some of these folks?
Yeah. So the obvious, obvious one is that we are real time. None of the others are real time.
Right.
Like it or not, it's the Grockle.
Grockle. It's catchy.
Like you have this graph oriented data structure backend. Mm-hmm. So some of the CMSs, of course, have GraphQL layer, but I think ours is sort of more powerful. You can do more stuff with it.
You're not allowed to say that till it ships, man.
Yeah. Well, if you want, if you go to our GitHub organization page and find something called the Structured Content Startup Starter Kit, uh-huh. that's a secret way to get in on the GraphQL beta.
Ooh, nice. You heard it here first. Well, I, you know, one way that I think that they're different, and this could be in part that I just don't know enough about them, but one of the things that has bothered me about a lot of these kind of CMS as a service is that they're not particularly extensible. from the point of view of if Contentful doesn't provide you something that you want, it's pretty difficult to add it. Yes, they recently, I'm pretty sure it's Contentful, that introduced the ability to have plugins. And what they're calling plugins are essentially just custom fields. But, you know, me as someone who wrote like SEOmatic for Craft CMS, right? If I wanted to implement that nice SEO tool that would take care of doing all the SEO metadata stuff and give a really nice preview to people, like I can't do that in these other CMSs. However, in Sanity, it looks like I could, right? Because it's just, it's a React app and I can add whatever the hell I want to
it. So that's right? That's like the last of all the differences. That's one of the most important ones because...
Yeah, it's huge.
The other, most of the other headless CMSs, they are doing their stuff in their like web-based editor thing that they control. We are just giving you the editor and all the source codes, right. And we also have built it to be extended and customized and stuff like that. So, what if you like peek into it? Actually, you can see that you can actually like switch out different parts of it with your own thing. It's pretty wild, but
That's a really, like, one of the videos that I was watching that was super compelling was just showing how to spin Sanity up. And, you know, they went through modeling the data and they're like, okay, let's add an editor to it. And then they, you know, you just did I think it was yarn add or whatever, pulled it down, start serving it again, and boom, the studio thing was there. And I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, this is super extensible.
So if you don't want the superpowers of portable text, right? And you just want to use good old Markdown, you just type Sanity install Markdown and you just use Markdown as a type for a field. And then you have a Markdown editor. So it's stuff like that. Today, actually, we shipped a huge upgrade to the rich text editor, which lets you customize all the styling in it. You can make your own toolbar icons, and it's just React. You can actually also tap into the paste handling. So when I wrote the documentation, wow. I wrote a thing where you can, like, if you take some HTML and you have like this code block in the HTML, it will parse that into the custom code input type when you paste it into the rich text field. So it's pretty powerful stuff. I look forward to see what people will do with it. But yeah, we're trying to make all this kind of stuff that we imagine people can have use for.
Well, I mean, and to me as a programmer, like that is just freaking awesome, right? I love the fact that you're like, okay, here's Sanity Studio and it's just an app. Like you can add whatever the heck you want to it, right? I mean, I think that's pretty wild. So in theory, a third-party developer could come up with a package, publish it, and then other people could just add it. You know, let's say I wrote like Sane-O-Matic, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, Sane SEO or whatever. You should. And I published it. Like everyone else could just suck it down into their project if they wanted.
Just publish it on NPM. So if you call your NPM package sanity-plugin-something, that will make it available as a plugin. So people can just type sanity install something and get it down.
I'm excited because this has been one of my biggest resistances to some of these content or, you know, CMS as a service or whatever you want to call them, is that you kind of get what you get. You know, I mean, there is a little bit of customization, but at least from what I have seen, and Lauren, you can correct me if I'm wrong because you have far more experience with these than I do, but you can't do anything as deeply as it looks like you can do it in Sanity, right?
Yeah, you're fairly limited. Like it's most of them are pretty restrictive of the ones that I've used. And I would say that so far from using Sanity, it's the most flexible in how you can, one, customize the editor for content editors or whoever is using it. And also, yeah, the ability to structure the data exactly how you want to use it, basically. So it is very developer friendly, But on the other end, it does make it unapproachable for others. But as far as developers, it will make us all very happy, which is, you know, good for us. But I also am wondering, you know, like what that would look like for someone who wants to get off the ground with it without that experience.
Yeah. So we are working on some stuff that will make it easier to get started, especially because people aren't that used with the whole API headless model yet.
So, no, they will be though. Like this is where everything is.
Yeah,
it is.
And you have the Jamstack thing and all that. So it's getting there. But what we have seen from doing user testing and doing user testing on developers that's an interesting exercise. But
I'm sure
it's kind of hard to grasp, to have the mental model of what happens, because you're downloading a thing and there's some syncing going on and so on. So we are working with making this a bit clearer and making it a bit easier to like get started with like a front end or something. So the aforementioned structured content starter kit thing is kind of a prototype of giving you a monorepo with the Sanity Studio and a Gatsby front end and actually a voice assistant integration. So
nice.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Since this is just a React app, could I, in theory, use React Native with it and just build something that runs natively on, an iOS or Android device?
So we have a React Native front-end example. So, sure.
So those little tablets, so a use case, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever been to an Apple store, you go to an Apple store, they say, who are you? And they, you know, they tap a bunch of things on their tablet. I mean, that sounds like it could be just a native app written using the Sanity's backend that, you know, they're just modifying a single data store somewhere and everyone can collaborate with it in real time.
Yeah, so it's kind of similar to Firebase in that regard. And people are using it to make apps and backends for apps like that. Yeah. I think one of our developers made a beer festival app where,
of course, he did.
Where people could rate the beers and we have real time updates and stuff like that.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I think they did that in React Native.
That is really, really nifty. I mean, I love the idea of, and I understand like this isn't necessarily for everyone, right? I mean, you're going to need to want to be or working on projects that require some amount of pretty custom development for it to make sense. But someone could also build out stuff like, because of how flexible it sounds like it is, they could build out like a scaffolding just to get people up to speed really quick. Right?
We have users that actually have made this CLI tool that spins up a new project and loads in schemas depending on some selections. And what you end up with is actually a page builder thing.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, you can do stuff like that. I think this.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. That was my next question. Is you talked earlier about Craft and the Matrix block. Is there anything like that in Sanity where you can have a logically grouped set of fields that you can then replicate and repeat?
Yes. So we talked about portable text, right? And portable text, it's just an array with blocks. And some of those blocks can be your paragraph block, and some other block could be some custom block of consisting of whatever fields you want. So it's
I have nightmares about giving people of a WYSIWYG field though. I mean,
yeah,
I really have nightmares about that.
But I think we have solved that problem, because the editors are given the WYSIWYG fields that they want to actually work in. And they don't have to learn Markdown or whatever. But what happens back is that they are making structured content that you defined how it should look. So nothing that you don't let them do, they are able to do.
That's true. So you could theoretically like make a decorator for, say, an H1 tag and actually make it an H2.
Yeah.
Because you're able to actually specify exactly what it is that you want the element to be. And it doesn't have to be an HTML block. It could be any block, correct?
So people have used Sanity for making a pizza recipe book and like translating. This is a good XML story. So they are translating the portable text thing into InDesign XML. So they're able to just import all the content into InDesign and then do like the typesetting and make a pizza recipe book. So you can do stuff like that.
Cool. So you could, build pretty much anything. You can have it output any markup. It doesn't have to be HTML. It could be a React component that already exists or something like this. If you're actually just outputting what the tag is, you can, on the front end, render it however you like.
Yeah, that's completely correct. And I tried to test like what you can do with it. I made a speech synthesis editor because there are actually a standard for like speech synthesis called SSML, and they have their own tags for like
everyone has their own markup language, right?
but like if you should say something strongly or whisper it and stuff like that. So what I made was like editor for that kind of use, using decorators and annotations. I could then use the HTML serializer to just translate that into the SSML tags and ship it to the Google text to speech and have it speak like how I wanted it to speak.
So Patrick, you would know what this thing is called. Isn't there some YouTube thing where people like just talk quietly to each other or something? What is that called?
ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR. So you could write an ASMR plugin for this.
Yeah,
right?
You could actually do that.
Oh my god! What have we done, Knut? What have we done?
I'm sorry.
All right, with that.
I'm
here,
oh, I'm sorry.
<That's it. laughs> There you go. But can you have something that is like a matrix though? Like is repeating? Let's say you do have something that you don't want just a rich text field. You actually do have this thing that you want repeated, and it doesn't make sense for it to be in its own section.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you can have like a container with fields that can then repeat? Is that a thing?
Absolutely. So what you would do is to make an array type.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you will just put in whatever types you wanted and leave the block type out of it because it's the block type. If you put a block into an array, that will like produce the editor unless you override that. But if you keep the block out of it, it will be very similar to the matrix field.
And there's like a little plus button to add another one of those things or whatever.
But
Perfect. That is really neat. Lauren, what do you think?
I think it sounds really cool. I'm really intrigued by it, and I would like to toy around with it a bit more.
I got to admit, the one thing that I'm bummed about is that I've invested a lot more time learning Vue than I have learning React. And I'm kind of sad about that from the perspective of this sounds really, really neat. Really, really neat.
Yeah. So we have one of our most active users are actually a Vue developer. And he's the one who made the Vue, like the portable text to Vue thing. and he was like, I really need a table editor. Because for some reason, people always want to make tables. And if you're like me,
some companies live or die by Excel,
And he said, I'm not really that into React, but I will give it a try. And like a weekend after, he shipped like a plugin for making tables in Sanity, which is pretty nice. So yes, there are some React development you have to do if you are going to make custom stuff. But the nice thing is that you don't have to worry that much about state management because the state, like the content is just passed down to the plugin as a prop. Because that is like the backend, the real-time backend. So you don't have to like bother with Redux and all that stuff. So you're just making like plugins that take in the data. And of course, you have to do some patching that you have to learn. But that's pretty much, I think, the most the barrier. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was talking to Paulo about this the other day. Paulo Elias or Elias. I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry. And he was basically saying, "Well, look, I mean, you already know and understand 80 to 90% of what you need to know, because it's more a mental state in terms of how everything works in these things. And if you wanted to get up to speed with React, it's not going to be that big of a deal." But the other interesting thing to me is that I can use Sanity, right? And I can use whatever I want on the front end. If I want to use Vue on the front end, I can do that. It doesn't matter. It's only when it gets into actually customizing the back end, which I may or may not need to do depending on the project, that I would need to delve into React, right?
Yeah, I have played with the thought of like trying to do Vue stuff in like the editor, because you can make like the dashboard. We just give you the blank slate and you can load whatever you want into it. Yep. But yeah, React kind of makes sense for us because it is a complex app after all. So yeah.
No, I think it totally makes sense. This has been fantastic, Knut. And I just want to see if Patrick... What do you think, man? Are you think you might be considering tying your Gatsby stuff into Sanity if you're diving into the React world?
Yeah, I don't know. I was really pleasantly surprised by how quickly, I mean, it just like on the homepage, it's one line of an NPM install and you've got something up and running to start creating content. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I always like to take a wait and see approach and see where things go. I still like using Craft CMS for headless, but I think this is a really interesting way to do it. It gives you some great distribution. Yeah, it's got a lot to offer. And I mean, Grokkle, who doesn't want to learn another query language? So
we haven't even touched on the like the image pipeline.
That I did see that, and you can like upload massive images and do focal point and cropping and all. That's actually
fast. And what we also do is to analyze that like image data and annotate the document with like the color palettes and all the dimensions, and we give you like a base 64 low quality image placeholder.
Yeah, the Elk Web.
So there's also a lot of stuff.
Do you make source sets too?
What?
Does it make source sets, like multiple versions of the same image?
You can just ask for whatever dimension you want on the fly. It will...
And your back end is what takes care of doing the resizing, or what actually does the resizing?
It's a back end. So we cheat a little. So what happens is that we make a lot of versions so whatever transform you want to do, there's also a close dimension to it.
Nice.
And we will generate it the first time, and every time after that, it's like the cached thing.
It's there. Yeah. So it's kind of like we get ImageX for free along with this, along with Sanity.
And you can do stuff like you can upload an SVG file and you can ask for the PNG version with a white background or whatever hacks you can find. So it's kind of this it's many of the small neat things that you sort of discover along the way, and that's what made me like fell in love with this CMS thing in the first place. It was like a fantastic like journey into the whole universe. So
you know, we're going to be winding it down, but before we do, I want to get into the name. So where did Sanity come from? Did someone think that the way everything worked already was just insane and they felt that they needed to bring some sanity
obvious?
Or where did the name come from?
it's something like that. If I haven't been hyperbole already, I would kind of suggest that this is the CMS that doesn't suck.
I know a text editor that's going to sue you for stealing their slogan.
Yeah.
Do you know what text editor I'm talking about?
I should perhaps, because I'm saying this, so I have it.
It's from BBEdit. It's from back in the day.
I still use BBEdit.
Doesn't suck. Oh my god! Really?
When you are dealing with like. If you like export 10,000 documents from Sanity, and you have this ndjson file with 10,000 documents of JSON documents, you won't either. You have to go into Vim. I've tried many times to learn Vim, never succeeded. So the other options is to go into BBEdit. BBEdit.
Yeah. What about Sublime? Sublime is pretty efficient.
BBEdit has some cool nifty things for search and replace and extract and all that.
Well, the reason I was asking about the name is, I don't know, because it, when I was talking about it, I was saying insanity.
Yeah.
Like insanity. I didn't know. I mean, maybe someone came up with it and they're like, I want people to talk about insanity whenever they say insanity.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but it's kind of insane sometimes, I guess, in a good way.
Well, it's the front end, back end development world. Of course it's insane. Right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. Well, Knut, thank you very much for coming on. I think that wraps it up for another episode of the DevMode.fm podcast. To have every episode delivered to your favorite podcast player, subscribe to our RSS or subscribe via iTunes or Google Play. And if you like what we're doing, leave us a review. You can also follow us on Twitter at DevModeFM, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Just leave us a comment on the DevMode.fm website. For the DevMode.fm podcast, I'm Andrew Welch.
I'm Lauren Dorman.
I'm Patrick Harrington.
And Knut, say your name.
It's Knut Melvar.
From Sanity.io. Thank you for coming
Thanks
on,
for
sir.
Having me. Who's playing guitar?
Who is playing guitar?